SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Grid on a Monday morning. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside, a lot to get to. DRS, how you feeling?
Feeling good today. Championships keep rolling through. We had the NBA close up last week. The NHL now taking center stage. And also a big-time U.S. Open performance on Father's Day by Fitzpatrick. And off we go. New week, new money.
Certainly so. We'll start with the U.S. Open. Matthew Fitzpatrick wins the U.S. Open. Entering the turnaround, that 25 to 30 to 1 range, ultimately goes 6 under for the tournament, which was one better than Zalatoris and Scottie Scheffler. It was a star-studded top five, truthfully, when that leaderboard finished up there. A really fun tournament with Fitzpatrick winning his first major.
Yeah, no matter what championship it is, whether it's a team sport or individual sport, it's always nice where it comes down to the final hole to see who's actually going to close this one out. $3.1 million win here for Matthew Fitzpatrick in his first major championship. Congratulations to him. A great U.S. Open all the way around.
I feel like that $3.1 million number, we might circle back to. Again, we've got a lot of time here on a Monday morning. You talk about championships, though. The Stanley Cup Final was on over the weekend, and, well, at least one team was well aware of it. Maybe not so much the other. 7-0. The Colorado Avalanche beat the Tampa Bay Lightning, and they just laid it on all game long. They got on the score sheet multiple times within the first 10 minutes. They helped you cash an odds boost on FanDuel involving Rantanen and McKinnon. They did it all, Donnie. They hit the over by themselves.
Yeah, they did. And also Kemper, the goalie here for the Colorado Avalanche, only needed 16 saves in that game in a 7-0 beatdown. One of those where he said, hey, look, the Tampa Bay Lightning going for three straight Stanley Cups. Mm-hmm. They'll get their act together in game two and keep it close. They weren't close at all. So now begs the question, are we eventually going to get value now in the Tampa Bay Lightning, or is it too far gone? As Kevin stated, the better team in this series is the Avalanche, and they're certainly playing that way.
Yeah, we will give you those updated series prices, game three, as well as tonight. We'll preview that for you here all again today, this morning, on the early line. We'll also take a look at some of the big news coming out of Major League Baseball, and the Yankees had their 9-game win streak snapped. They were up 8-3, a grand slam followed by a 3-run homer in the later innings of the game for the Toronto Blue Jays. See them come back and win this one 10-9. That still, though, isn't keeping Yankee numbers in check. DRS, this team has moved to -750 to win the AL East.
Yeah, one of those games looks like the Yankees on the way to another easy victory. Team total in that game for the Yanks, 4.5. Easily hit that, but you thought marching toward another victory. But here you go. Those Toronto bats woke up late here, came back from a big deficit at home. Nice win for the Toronto Blue Jays as the Yankees were looking for win number 50 and failed to come up with that one yesterday.
Again, still obviously that Yankees team winning another series, continuing to be really, really on fire. It'll be interesting to see if at some point could they position themselves as World Series favorites. If a player like Mookie Betts were to miss an extended period of time, I think that could certainly impact the odds. Not going to be too long, but Mookie does land on the IL as he has a rib injury that's going to cost him around 2 weeks, and it's also impacting those NL MVP odds as the radio audience enters the fold, and we appreciate all those tuning into Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159, Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside here on the early line of this Monday morning. Donnie, for the Dodgers, who are in a really, really tight race with the Padres, any extended period of time for Mookie Betts to be missing is less than ideal.
Yeah, not great here, but if there's one team that's, built to last through injuries, it would be the Los Angeles Dodgers, and the joke would be, Mookie Betts down for a couple weeks, we'll just go out and get Mike Trout. I mean, that's seemingly what they do, but I'm not going to push any panic buttons here for the Dodgers yet. Doesn't look like it's going to be a long-term injury, maybe 2 to 3 weeks, getting it back there refreshed, ready, and back in business in that leadoff hole. Not too big of a concern for me, but certainly doesn't help them in the race for the NL West.
We give you those updated NL MVP odds throughout our show as well. How about in the NBA? Couple big pieces of news. One of them, though, pretty surprising. Kenny Atkinson set to take the Charlotte Hornets job. Nice young core, LaMelo Ball, a lot of excitement. Something, Donnie, changed. He's going to stay in Golden State as an assistant head coach.
Yeah, maybe he said, all right, which franchise am I going to? Oh, Charlotte, that's going to be pretty good, and signs the deal and then says, okay, hold on now. I got to work under Michael Jordan, who's not going to get me any talent to surround me. We're not going to have a winning franchise because what has Michael Jordan done in the past other than being on the court and win championships? Off the court, he hasn't done so. But my goodness, like usually the money is right for a head coach. You wait to get head coaching opportunities. There's not many of these in the world. And for a guy to say thanks but no thanks after already accepting the job, tough. Where do we see that last? I don't know, Josh McDaniel pulling out there for the Indianapolis Colts. We don't see this that much, but Kenny Atkinson pulls that, not so fast. I'll stay here in Gold State.
Which, again, the Hornets slander is deserved, but it's not like he accepted the job and then did his research on the organization. It maybe has some implications around the current Golden State Warriors NBA champion head coach, Steve Kerr. Also, a Bradley Beal update is coming, who's apparently made his decision. Won't tell anybody yet. We'll read into that. And then also, Donnie, we're hearing Matt Ryan changing the world at OTAs with the Indianapolis Colts. Unbelievable, they say.
Yeah, maybe he got a bionic arm attached. You know, maybe he can throw the football this year. We'll see and find out. But a lot of hype coming out of there, unlike San Francisco, Kevin.
Such a layup. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Grid and DRS. I want to start it off with the U.S. Open here. Big, obviously, a huge event whenever you've got a major championship going on over the weekend. And this was a really fun tournament to follow here. You had a lot of big names close down the stretch. Ultimately, it's Matt Fitzpatrick who takes it home, goes 6-under for the tournament. Scheffler, Zalatoris were both just one stroke shy. You had Matsuyama, Morikawa, and Rory McIlroy, who finished off the top five, six golfers there, but again, all tied. Those are all names you know. That's what you're looking for at a major championship. What was your takeaway from the U.S. Open this weekend?
It was fantastic the way it closed because we were joking on Thursday and Friday doing multiple shows together saying, now, hold on. Look at this leaderboard right now. You could have fooled me that this was the U.S. Open. Just looks like some random tournament played overseas where you don't have any idea who the top five are. And as we said, cream would rise to the top there. Colin Morikawa, Matsuyama, Zalatoris, Scheffler, and Fitzpatrick up in the lead. But also, the one thing I love about the U.S. Open, it's the true test of golf, where it says, okay, if you're under par, that is successful. Not like your usual PGA Tour where the winner is 15 or 20 under par. You take a look at this tournament, and it started out, as we were joking, say, man, 156 guys in this tournament. Well, only 11 players finished at par or better. That shows that this was a very tough golf course. And to win it, you had to bring your A game, which certainly Matthew Fitzpatrick did, right down to the wire. And if you watch the closing hole there, Zalatoris had a great read for a birdie that just burned the left side of the cup, and he gets that bridesmaid again. But no shame in his game, pocketing $1.5 million for finishing in a tie for second place with Scottie Scheffler.
And you talk kind of about the course. It was a huge talking point, especially on the Saturday course. It felt like, right, anybody that was even probably felt fantastic. But for the tournament as a whole, only 11 golfers were par or better for the tournament. It goes to show just how difficult this thing ultimately was out there. And that's probably a big reason why, again, that top five is littered with names you know, right? If you follow golf to any degree, there's not a name up there that you're unfamiliar with. I will say, though, I wonder for a guy like a Rory McIlroy, DRS, who came out hot on day number one, who's a pre-tournament favorite 10-1, And going into day number two, was under 5-1 to win this tournament. In recent times, the story around McIlroy is always great, just can't seem to cross the finish line, though. Look, I think you'll take a T5 at a major at any time you can. But for Rory, I feel like it's ultimately about winning these tournaments, not just impressing. Just couldn't get this one done either.
Yeah, he's going to have multiple opportunities there to win a U.S. Open and certainly another major at this point. But the point is valid here. When you talk about a championship golfer heading down the stretch, you have the ability, right, to be at the top of the leaderboard. But sometimes in these tournaments, Kevin, as opposed to playing offense, it's even better to play defense. When you say, okay, I got 4 or 5 holes left to go. I'm down a stroke or two. Let me just play even par all the way out and see how it feels, as opposed to being ultra aggressive, maybe bringing out a driver when you could use the 3-wood, maybe playing to a side of the green as opposed to pin seeking there to try to get a little bit closer. But I mean, his time will come, and you're right, a T5, nobody's gonna say, hey, Rory didn't play all that well. Anytime you're taking a top five down in a major and also pocketing $675,000, that's not a bad opportunity on his side. We'll see if he learns, I guess, as he moves forward. But it's one of those where you saw him as a massive favorite here, and it just didn't work out in the end.
Now, we mentioned the winning purse for Matt Fitzpatrick, $3.1 million. Nothing to scoff at all. One of the big talking points going in, of course, to the U.S. Open, the LIV Golf guys. Before we start to compare money, not a great week for LIV, certainly. Phil missed the cut. Louis Oosthuizen missed the cut. Bryson was plus 13. Patrick Reed was plus 10. Dustin Johnson had a moment or two, but ultimately he was 4 over as well. He was inside that top 25, if that's anything to write home about there. Let me ask you this. If you're LIV Golf, are you leaving this tournament annoyed, frustrated, disappointed, or just the fact that your guys were in the U.S. Open, that's really all that mattered?
Yeah, that's probably the win, because the talking points still at some points this week were the LIV Golf Tour, which, as they say, you know, any visibility is good visibility at this point. Anytime you get yourself on the back page, even with a passing comment, that's good for your tour. Now, you also see some of those stars start to trickle over here as we now look at the next tournament, the LIV Golf Tour in the United States. So a little bit more play. But I think if it came down to it, Greg Norman is the head of that tour. Wouldn't it have been nice to see on Sunday, you know, final pairing, Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, because you wouldn't be talking about who's going to win the next U.S. Open in a few hours. You'd be talking about which tour is going to come out ahead. And can you imagine the amount of money that they already have backed in the LIV Golf Tour, Kevin, if they won the U.S. Open, meaning Dustin Johnson took that down? It would be littered on every front page everywhere. Who's the better tour? Come play with us. I'm sure commercials would start to be bought during the PGA Tour time saying, hey, what are these guys playing on this tour for when we have the true champions of golf on the LIV Golf Tour? Would have been interesting to watch, but this is probably a resounding win early for the PGA Tour saying, this is the better tour. Look at the players who competed. Look at the tour they play on.
Which is, yes, their dream scenario would have been Dustin Johnson right down the stretch, right? But really all that, I think in the short term matters is, are there golfers on this tour? Not even for the visibility, just to make sure their golfers are happy. Because that to me, and I think you saw that, Donnie, with this U.S. Open here, right? Is the majors are that's the top, right? That's where these guys want to be. So as long as they can still be at the U.S. Open and the Masters, right? As long as they can still play in the majors, then going over and playing in the LIV Golf Tour isn't as bad. And the other big thing is, Donnie, if I'm not mistaken, Charles Schwartzel, did he not win another $1 million compared to what Matt Fitzpatrick took home here for winning a major championship? Listen, I know that everyone had, or not everyone, but people have their issues with all of this here. But the point that I know I've been trying to make, and I think similar for you, is kind of, why LIV seems like it has a legitimate chance when you're paying out comfortably more than the U.S. Open with a way less competitive field? It's going to catch the attention, Donnie, of some of these golfers.
Yes, and specifically the golfers that have already made their mark on the PGA Tour, saying, okay, the next breed is coming through here. I'm sort of on my way out, where now instead of me battling in top 10s that I have for the past 5 years, I'm battling to make cut lines. Oh, let me go play over here where it's no cuts. I'm guaranteed paychecks each week, and also a monster paycheck if I do end up finishing in a top 10, top 5, or even winning the tournament. Also, keep in mind, one of the headlines that came up here is LIV Golf to apply for golf rankings points, Greg Norman says. So this is going to be the fight from the PGA Tour that says, and I don't know what type of jurisdiction they would have where I'm going to block the world golf from actually getting any points into here. I don't know how you do that, but I'll tell you right now, if you can play on a tour to make that much bank and only play, what, three rounds and shotgun starts, you're not waiting around the course every day, everything is first class, and also play in the majors, that could be a massive win for the LIV Golf Tour. Imagine if they don't get those world golf rankings and you can't play in the majors. That's going to separate a few things. But if you can play on that tour and the majors, you're going to get even more golfers going over there.
100%. So the next event for the PGA Tour is going to be the Travelers Championship, which is coming up this week, which is a decent tournament, certainly. So we'll see what kind of field we have there. We don't have odds just yet on the FanDuel Sportsbook. We do have odds for the Open Championship, though, which is the next master, which is not too far away. It's a July 14th Rory McIlroy will be the favorite once again for a major championship at plus 900. Rahm and Scheffler round out your top three. Rahm 12-1, as same as Scottie Scheffler. A lot of the top names should likely be at that Open Championship, which is less than a month away. Coming up next, Major League Baseball. A lot of big stories developing over the weekend. That's where we'll start after this quick break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Taking a look at some big headlines around Major League Baseball. And I think the Yankees deserve the top spot here. Now, it's interesting. We're talking about a team that lost yesterday, so maybe the temperature is for debate. But I think a team that was on a 9-game win streak, okay, sweeping the Tampa Bay Rays, going to Toronto, and grabbing 2 out of 3 with a 49-17 record, it can only be one thing. But yesterday, an 8-3 lead, which snap ultimately looked like it was going to be 10 wins in a row. Consecutive sweeps of the Jays and the Rays, which would have been wildly impressive. For the Yankees, though, the bullpen fell apart. Severino left some of those runners on, certainly so. But that bullpen let them down. A grand slam soon after in the next inning, a 3-run homer, and they were able to hold serve there and win 10-9. What was your takeaway, Donnie, from the weekend for the Yankees? They're ultimately, though, now moving to -750 favorites to win the AL East.
That's what it takes to beat the Yanks, right? You know, score 10 runs off them and have a massive comeback just to show any life. Because you're even looking at a game yesterday, we had 19 total runs. And if I would have told you before the game, the Yankees would be 3 of 14 with runners in scoring position and the Blue Jays would be 2 of 7, struggled one of those 4-3 pitching duels. Not the case here. Why? Because the long ball certainly can tack on runs fairly quickly. But there's no panic in the Yankees game at this point. As we said before, you know, or the previous segment here, Win number 50 is on the horizon for the Yankees. They're a really good baseball club. Now, they start another series. Now, this is also the point of contention that I was using throughout the summer, where you see the Yankees, and should they be the favorites here to win the, you know, whether it be the American League or even the World Series, you're starting to play teams like the Toronto Blue Jays, who are good. Next series coming up, it's going to be the Tampa Bay Rays, which are a good ball club. We'll see about that medal for the Yankees, because they certainly piled it on at 49-17. Not showing they're going to slow down and even lose their lead in the division, but you're not just going to get like the Nationals every day, or maybe the Pittsburgh Pirates, or some of these struggling teams, the Kansas City Royals across baseball. You're getting a really good division, and that's where you're going to play the majority of your game. So yesterday, one that got away, because it looks like the Yankees were going to be on easy street with another win over the Blue Jays, but they snapped back there in that 10-9 victory.
And if you are the Yankees, obviously you'd love to close that out. But all in all, they are second in runs scored in all of baseball, 2 back of the New York Mets. They are still the only team in baseball that has yet to allow 200 runs this season. Their run differential is 143, which is 29 better than the next closest team, which is the Dodgers. Don, it's nearly 80 runs better than the third best run differential in all of baseball. I've asked this question to you before, but I'm going to ask it again. Is it time for the Yankees to be the favorites to win the World Series?
It feels like it should be, right? And I don't know what the question mark is, because as I was alluding to earlier, like, you see the Dodgers at a plus 370 price at the FanDuel Sportsbook. You know, Mookie Betts was down injured. Their pitching staff, particularly their frontline starting pitching, doesn't look all that great. And they're still a favorite here over the Yankees, who are sitting at a 5-1 price to win the World Series. And the only thing I can think of is they're saying it's easier to get through the National League, because you got, first of all, in order to win a World Series, what do you have to do? You have to get to the World Series. But I guess they're just underplaying the Mets in the National League, where they're plus 750, you know, $4 basically behind the Los Angeles Dodgers, when we know Jacob DeGrom and Max Scherzer are probably coming back and will be healthy here. Where the Dodgers, are we just anticipating them making crazy moves at the trade deadline to sort of fortify that team on its way down? But it is interesting to see how these teams are priced, because right now, if you just match these teams up, because there's no shame in the game for the Yankees. I mean, they got good front end starting rotation, unless you're saying, well, Nestor Cortez, Kevin, is going to fade down the second half of the season and just turn into the average pitcher that maybe you thought he was going to be heading into the season. But if you're lining up pitcher versus pitcher now, they're just as good as anybody else. And also, that lineup is really starting to rake at this point. So sooner or later, that number is going to change. And maybe over the next 2 weeks or before the All-Star break, you might see the Yankees creep higher. But the one point of contention, again, is I don't know why the odds makers are figuring it's easier to get through the National League being for the Dodgers than it would be the Yankees to get through the American League.
Which I'm not sure I'd agree with, because the Dodgers, Donnie, the Dodgers are under minus 200 to win their division now. The Padres are starting to earn some respect from the odds makers. I almost feel like the Padres, in less than 70 games, are earning more respect than it took the Giants about 120 games to earn when we talk about last year's NL West race. The Yanks are 11 games up on Toronto. They're a minus 750 favorite to win that division. Yes, the Astros are, as you mentioned, booked in front of the Mets, not by a ton, all in all. Let's stick with one American League note here, because Aaron Judge is still your favorite to win, and as he should be, the AL MVP. But we do have a new second choice on the board. Otani has moved back to third because Mike Trout has come back and has not missed a beat. Five homers in five games in Seattle. I mean, listen, if you are the Seattle Mariners, that is not a guy you want to see walk into your stadium. He's now up to 21 home runs. Mike Trout is not just, obviously, one of the very best players in baseball. He's one of the premier power hitters in Major League Baseball. He does lead the entire league in OPS, just under a 300 batting average. His RBI numbers are starting to climb. Look, I don't think Mike Trout, again, right now, is in an Aaron Judge range, but he's absolutely, to me, warranting second choice. Otani's not doing enough at the plate, and Mike Trout has come back completely on fire.
Yeah, he has come back on fire, because last time he was making his swing through South Jersey here in the Mid-Atlantic region, he was like 0 for 20, 0 for 25. Boy, maybe Mike Trout just doesn't have it this year, and he's really snapped back and is red hot here. And you're right. You saw the home run go out yesterday and say, man, Trout's got 21 home runs on the season. Let's see where he ends up. But also, when you're trying to take a look at the best players in baseball, which obviously Mike Trout is one of those, you still have to have that team concept here. So we look at the Yankees with 49 wins. We look at the Angels with 33 wins and an under 500 record. And also, Anthony Rendon signed that massive deal again out for the season here with wrist surgery. They can't seem to catch a break. And it's one of those where you're looking at these Angels, which were so promising about 3 weeks ago. Hey, look at this. Good record here. Headed towards the playoffs. Superstar starting to play well. Let's see where it goes. And it also looks like it's already heading downhill at this point, which is a shame for Major League Baseball and, quite frankly, the fans, because we like the best players in the biggest moments, and Mike Trout not getting to the playoffs is just a travesty, even though we have expanded playoffs here now in Major League Baseball. But Mike Trout, he's going to do a lot, and maybe it's just not enough here to try to propel the Angels. And again, getting back to the MVP race here, you're going to get a bump from being on the best team in baseball and being the best player playing in the biggest moments.
The Rendon thing, I think that's so difficult, right? Is you give out one of those big contracts, and if, you know, let's just say it's an 8-year deal and the guy's bad for the last 3 years, that's unfortunate. Yeah, at least we got, you know, 3 years of unbelievable play, two more years of you know, all-star range. Anthony Rendon's not giving the Angels much of anything. He really hasn't. And he's hardly been out there. It's been a contract. Now, he was the reigning MVP coming off of a World Series. It made sense. It's just not worked for the LA Angels in the way that they had hoped to. Let's stick out west, but go over to the National League. So I just said that the Padres are commanding respect. The Dodgers did move back to above minus 200, minus 210, because the Padres just got swept by the Rockies. This is the one thing, I guess, about having Colorado as one of the bottom feeders in your division, is going to Coors is, for now, 2 years in a row, it's just not going to be easy. They're a 500 baseball team now on the season in Coors Field. The Rockies, they're just not an easy out, I guess. Taking three straight off for the Padres is tough. Now, look, San Diego's only a half back of the Los Angeles Dodgers, so that is still going to be a race, but a tough series right there for San Diego.
Yeah, it is a tough series for San Diego because you're trying to line up some decent pitchers like Mackenzie Gore, good young pitcher. He got raked yesterday. You try to come back and say, okay, let's throw another veteran out on the mound. That didn't work out with Blake Snell. But you're right. It's almost like a house of horrors where you say to yourself, all right, the Rockies aren't a very good team, but they play in one of those atmospheres which you're not used to. You could be a great pitcher. I only pitched twice up there in Colorado, so I don't really know the feel on my curveball or my spin rate's a little bit lower. The ball travels if I'm a fly ball pitcher. You would almost like if the Colorado Rockies were just, you know, not in Colorado and sue a bad baseball team, say, hey, man, we just roll in the town, hammer them and get out of here. But every time you go to Colorado, you have to think about the elements and the atmosphere. And, you know, it's typically in football season, you come out there in Denver and they tell you, yeah, you're above mile high. You're probably going to need oxygen today. So even before you take the field, you're like, ooh, am I going to be winded today when I go out there? Similar feeling here for pitchers. Every time you go to Colorado, man, come on. I had a good season going, Kevin. I got a under three ERA. Now I got to play in Colorado. And, oh, yeah, look at this. Four innings pitched, 8 hits, 7 earned runs, and there goes my ERA into the tank. There's a reason why not a lot of dominant starting pitchers, Kevin, say, you know what? I want to make my home in Colorado once I become a free agent. It's just tough on the psyche. It really is.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Now, we did also see Manny Machado leave early in that game. When we get to hour number two, we'll talk about if he is out, how could that impact those odds and the potential way to approach a San Diego Padre game. Just some other things to take a look at there. The Boston Red Sox took 2 out of 3 against the St. Louis Cardinals. Remember when the Red Sox were the worst team in baseball? Like, were competing with the Orioles for last place in the AL East? What an unbelievable, quickly, I know we only got 30 seconds here. What an unbelievable turnaround from that team.
Yeah, it went from sellers to actual buyers now at the trade deadline coming up here. That's a good baseball team. And look at the top four, Yanks, Jays, Rays, and Sox. All right, Yankees going to have to earn it. They're really going to have to earn it if they want to be the best team in baseball this year.
Paul Goldschmidt is up to plus 200 now to win NL MVP. We mentioned that Mookie injury. He's back to 10-1 in that market. A legitimate gap, no doubt.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back to right here on Sports Grid. The NBA, obviously, now the finals over. We were hoping we were going to have the opportunity to enter today, breaking down the result of game number 7 in the NBA finals. But nevertheless, we still have plenty of headlines to sink our teeth into, and some of those surround the NBA champion Golden State Warriors. Kenny Atkinson had agreed to take the job to make the move to Charlotte, become the Hornets head coach, and it made sense. People praised the hire. People thought the fit for Kenny certainly worked out there. LaMelo Ball, a legitimate all-star who anticipates to be a top 10 player in this league sooner than later. A lot of good pieces to be excited about. Well, maybe Kenny Atkinson disagrees. He's not going anymore. He's going to stay and be the top assistant in Golden State. That was Mike Brown's job. He's going over to Sacramento. So there's definitely a pay bump for Kenny Atkinson in terms of what he made this year. Is he making more money to be the top assistant in Golden State compared to a head coach in Charlotte? I don't think so. There's a lot of tea leaves we can start to read here, Donnie. What was your reaction to the Atkinson decision to basically bail on the Charlotte Hornets?
Yeah, the first one to me is, you know, the joke, well, who wants to play for Jordan? And Jordan is a GM owner because you're probably not going to get the best picks. You're not going to have all that much on-court success because we can only go by what Michael Jordan has done as an owner and or GM at this point. But having said that, it reminds me a lot of in New England, right? When Josh McDaniels takes a job here for the Indianapolis Colts and says, yeah, I'm going to be the coach. And 2 or 3 days later, reneges on it because the owner said, now, hold on. We love you in this franchise. Bill Belichick's getting up there in years. Let's give you a pay bump. Let's make you almost that de facto coach in waiting. Now, it didn't work out because obviously McDaniels now has another job in a different organization. But it sort of has the feel to me now, the more we think about it, all right, Steve Kerr, how long does he want to do this for here? He's got multiple championships. If he retires, you can almost take a look at that Sean McVay. If I retire, go right into the booth. Tom Brady, when he retires, gets paid millions of dollars to call NBA games. Maybe that's the life that Steve Kerr wants to get back to and lead. As a de facto guy that says, I don't want the stress and strain of a day-to-day operation in the NBA. Been there, done that. Let me just move on to the next phase of my career, which would be into the media. And why don't we have Kenny Atkinson, who is obviously a very good coach, waiting in the wings, give him a pay bump with an organization. No pressure over the next year, two, or three, however Steve Kerr hangs on, where you're still going to have a really good team. You could still bolster your resume. And quite frankly, if another team comes available that's more advantageous to take than the Charlotte Hornets, you end up taking it here. But my takeaway here is maybe something is really in the works with Steve Kerr at this point, which is why Atkinson is not going to take it. And again, there's not that many of these jobs that come available here and not that much pay difference where you say, I'm an assistant coach. I'm going to double or triple my salary to be an NBA head coach. This is what you work your entire career for, to be a head coach in the NBA. So something's up there within the organization of Golden State for me.
Bill Belichick, because you made the appropriate comparison. Bill Belichick is 70 years old. Josh McDaniels is 46. The succession plan makes a lot of sense. Steve Kerr is 56. Kenny Atkinson is 55. It doesn't line up the same. But when you factor in those Steve Kerr, remember, Donnie, when he had the back problems where he just couldn't even sit on the sidelines and coach his team? Now, obviously, he's in much better health now, but Steve Kerr is a guy, right? We spent this offseason entertaining the idea that Sean McVay was going to retire off of one title under the age of 40 with so much left in front of him. Steve Kerr has 4 championships, obviously everything he did as a player, and has already had success as both a front office member and a broadcaster. The world is his oyster. Steve Kerr can do whatever he wants, right? And have total security in it. And if you're Kenny Atkinson, now, Josh McDaniels ultimately did get another job. Like, I remember when he burned the Colts and I was like, that guy is never going to coach again in the NFL. And soon after, the Vegas Raiders were like, awesome, let's make this happen. So I don't want to overreact and say Atkinson will never coach again in the NBA, because I don't know how many, you know, how much teams are bothered by what he did. But how do you not take this situation and basically say, in 2 years or less, Kenny Atkinson's going to be the lead man in Golden State?
That's just the way it feels, and it's probably going to end up that way. And also, if you're taking a look from Kenny Atkinson, you're obviously comfortable with the franchise you're in, because the Golden State Warriors certainly aren't going to let money or a salary cap or luxury tax, we like to say, get in the way of their successes. But also, if you're Steve Kerr, it's one of those where I'm not going to give up and retire just yet, because quite frankly, we just won a championship, and we have the core sticking together for at least maybe another year or two run while they're healthy. Let me try to tack on one more. And when a time comes where it's apparent that we're not going to win anymore, I like to spend more time with my family, my back's flaring up, and I got an opportunity to go with NBC to call, you know, National Basketball Association games where I have to work one or two national games a week. You know that's going to come in. But also Kenny Atkinson knows where I'm comfortable in this franchise. It's not going to be a short leash where, you know, sometimes you take over for a legend or you take over after a dynasty run and you just go right in the toilet. And it's like, man, what did you want me to do as a coach? But they fire you after 2 years because they say it's just not working out. Like, what did you want me to do when everybody left and I'm the only guy left in the room? It seems like this organization, the Golden State Warriors, is going to prep him for success. And they know what's going to take place once all their superstars get up there in age, maybe move on or retire. He's going to be there, but a known commodity. So he'll get the benefit of the doubt with a struggling year or two there. He's not going to get canned right away. He'll get that extra third or fourth year to sort of turn this around with that organization.
They're a team with a plan in place. You know, they, yeah, everyone wants to be great forever, but that's right. That's not how the NBA works, right?
No.
You're great, you're great, you're great. You tear it down, you kind of refigure it out. This is an organization that, if you look at them right now, they might be consistently, at least in the playoffs, right? At some point, Steph, Draymond, and Klay will no longer be Golden State Warriors, but I'm sure they look at their team right now and say, sure. But then we'll have Poole, Kuminga, Wiseman, Moody, maybe Wiggins, right? Like, we're going to have guys. They're not Steph. They're not Klay. They're not Draymond. But we're going to have guys. Guys have championships, right? Experience. That's what obviously Golden State is hoping on, and I think that's what Kenny Atkinson is banking on. Now, it is draft week in the NBA, which is obviously always important. However,
is it?
Anytime you start to get any ideas around major free agents in the NBA, it's going to take precedent. And Bradley Beal, an odd piece of news around Bradley Beal. This report comes from The Athletic that Bradley Beal has made his decision on whether or not he will stay with the Washington Wizards or look to move on. But don't tell anybody. All right, so my takeaway on this is Bradley Beal's leaving Washington. If Bradley Beal was going to stay, you just tell Washington. At least that would make sense to me. Maybe that's wishful thinking, because I think Bradley Beal leaving is a little bit more exciting than Bradley Beal staying. But if you were just going to lock it in and be happy as a Wizard, why the games? Why the question marks? I think it's because it's not as easy to tell the team that you told you were going to stay forever that that's not the case anymore. That's my initial read. There's a lot to unpack here, but when you hear that Bradley Beal's mind is made up, but he's not vocalized it yet, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, here's my thoughts right now. Two things, right? Well, Bradley Beal has been known to say, hey, I love Washington, which means to me, like, I don't really want to be in the spotlight. Pay me as much as I can. And if we lose, the fans are just going to say, well, thank you, he stayed. And, boy, he really likes the area here, and we can never get mad at the guy, as opposed to, you know, going to another team and trying to chase a championship. But, you know, here's the crux of the argument. If you are the NBA and you're Bradley Beal here, so right now, the lawyers, see this pen? Clicking it. Okay, he made his decision already. Before free agency? Where did I see this before? So apparently he already worked out a deal with another organization ahead of free agency. How many millions of dollars of fines or docked, you know, draft picks are we actually going to get here when the NBA draws it? He didn't know. He was just being facetious at this point. So when I hear this, he can't be dumb enough to say, okay, I made up my decision and I'm working out a deal with the Philadelphia 76ers or the Miami Heat or whoever it might be, because you can't do that. But to me, from what I've seen out of Bradley Beal in his entire career with Washington is, I just want to stay here and make more money than everybody else. It doesn't matter if we win. So if he's already made his mind up pre-free agency, I have a feeling that he's going to stay with the Washington Wizards. Now, could this be a sign and trade where, yeah, I wanted to stay with them, but they elected to move me, and I just said, okay, just so as long as I can get my Supermax contract? But it's kind of odd that he's saying, I made my decision already, knowing full well that you're not a free agent just yet, which means you were already talking to organizations for the past weeks here, and that is a stone-cold case, open and shut, for being a trying to work your way in and tampering. Get some tampering evidence going. Exactly. Craziness.
But the thing is we know tampering goes on. And maybe that's why Bradley Beal, though, hasn't revealed his decision yet. See, now, if Bradley Beal says, yeah, I made my mind up, right? But I'm not going to say anything yet. I don't think the NBA can then be like, well, hold on a minute now. You said you made your decision. on June 20th, you knew you were going to Miami or wherever it might be. I don't think they can do that, because then Donnie Bradley goes, yeah, I just knew I was going to leave. But let's be honest here. He very much so knows what deals are out there. That's how the NBA works. Everybody, including Adam Silver, knows that. I guess what? It depends how much Washington wants to try to complain and figure it out. But there's another level to this, right? It's not that Bradley Beal's decision is as simple as I will stay and be paid, or I will decline the option and be paid elsewhere. Because if you're Bradley Beal, the desire is to have both. Opt in, sign an extension, and then get traded, right? As in, request where you want to go. Washington, I love you, right? You love us and we love you. Here's the deal, though. This isn't working. I want to go to X, Y, Z. Next segment, we'll kind of fill in on some of the teams we're hearing. I want to go to X, Y, Z. They're going to have to give you stuff, obviously. That's how sign-and-trades work. Remember, Donnie, when Kevin Durant went to Brooklyn and there was a sign-and-trade involved that got the Golden State Warriors D'Angelo Russell, who was coming off of an all-star season, ultimately flipped around, packaged into Andrew Wiggins, and that worked out for him? If you're the Washington Wizards, at the end of the day, what is your deal, right? Lose Beal for nothing or the sign-and-trade scenario? See, I think Bradley Beal, again, might have that mind made up, but almost to your point, not to use it against you, but I think the reason why he has his mind made up, I can't say, is if he comes out today, Donnie, and goes, I'm going to Miami, that's a big red flag.
Yes, and that's where we need Shams and Woj here to wake up, where you know they're not going to sit on something where 24 hours before free agency starts, they're going to say Bradley Beal has been engaged, signed, and trade here, and coming out, and this is where he's going to go. That's what I need. Is it up to Bradley Beal's camp to keep this quiet and say, look, even though we know where we're going, let's wait 2 days in the free agency. Like, hey, we just made this deal last night in free agency, but I got a feeling somebody's going to scoop this story. It's going to be a lot of backpedaling here. Like, oh, I knew where I wanted to go, but I never talked to anybody, and come on. Now, we know this deal has already been worked out for max dollars trades, free agency signing trades already. It's just up to them to say, hey, guys, you can't announce this at 12:01 on free agency here, because we'll know that this deal was worked out weeks in advance. Give us at least 12 hours on free agency day when it opens, where then with the NBA, because, oh, hey, what did you want us to do? It's, you know, they already signed. We can't do anything about it.
But just to quickly say, 2 years ago, the Bucks had a deal done for Bogdanović that Woj said too early, and they had to rework the whole thing. I am sure that they told Woj, you ruined this, we'll never give you a...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right here on Sports Grid, quick segment before we hit hour number two. We were just talking about the Bradley Beal scenario. So there's a couple of rumors out there. The front one is, and this has been out there for a little bit, is that he likes Miami. And Miami loves Bradley Beal. And the way the season ended for the Heat, it has been made very clear. Now, it was actually made very clear during the Pat Riley press conference, honestly. But reports have also confirmed Jimmy stays, Bam stays, call us, everybody else is on the table. Duncan, Tyler, Lowry, you name it, the Miami Heat will trade those players. We'll pick up with that quickly. Donnie, Miami's 15-1 to win the title next year. My thing is, if you're betting 2023 NBA title futures, you want a team that's going to provide you value, beating a number. If Miami is successful, they're going to bring in a top 25 player in the NBA. Beal, Donovan Mitchell, maybe Zach LaVine. And if they are successful, 15-1 is going to be cut in half.
Yeah, it's going to be cut down substantially. And also, maybe you'll cut into the Brooklyn Nets odds of being now tied for a second here in odds to win an NBA champion. Maybe they think Beal's going to Brooklyn. Who knows at this point, which how much respect they get. But you're right. The Miami Heat, at least during the regular season, even if you're looking at one of those teams just to win their division, the Miami Heat are going to be one of those teams that you're going to want to contend with during the regular season, because you know Spo is going to bring it in game and out of game, day in and day night here for them. So I would trust the Miami Heat here. If they did get another superstar, yes, that's going to move under 10-1.
A second report that came out is how interested the Lakers are in Bradley Beal. Now, I know that, well, of course. Yes, of course. It could happen. It requires Beal to tell Washington, I'm going to the Lakers. It'll involve first-round picks, and ultimately the Westbrook contract would be needed to make the deal done. It's fascinating, though, to really ask the question, would Beal want to go to the Lakers, or are there better options? Big NBA Week.